Turn with us, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, continuing our study on this rock. Going back to the phrase that Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the last few weeks have been about church. What's it all about? Today we're continuing that topic of study. And today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does that mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you for guidance in your word. Open our minds and our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. And glorify your name by the response that we have to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love church. How about you? Apparently I love it more than y'all do. I do. I absolutely love church. And today I want to ask you, and I realize the right answer to, do you like church? Oh, yes, absolutely. You're sitting in church. You're not going to say, no, I don't like it, right? But today I want to ask you a question. Why church? Why? Why do you come? And I'm not being sarcastic. I want you to ask yourself that question. Why do I get up each week and go to church? You say, well, Brother Doug, I'm supposed to. Well, true, you are supposed to, but there has to be more to it than that, right? You say, well, Brother Doug, I go to worship, and good, I'm glad you come to worship, but is that all there is to it? I mean, if that's all there is to it, then what you do is you come to church on Sunday morning, and you worship, and you go home, and you say, I've done my part. And there are no doubt those in the world today who think that is the part of a Christian. But if that's all you're doing, you're missing the point. That's very shallow. And so today we're going to answer the question, what's the point about church? And we start with the grace of God. God's grace. It says in this text, that we just read, verse 7, to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What he's talking about there, he takes great pains to point out that every single one of us was given a gift. Every individual. You know, when we think of church, we think of this setting where there's, I don't know, 350, 400, whatever people there are here. And we say, this is church. Well, it is church, but, you know, the church is made up of individuals. Each individual makes the church what it is. And so we start out with that statement to every individual. You have been given grace. And that grace that we're talking about is the grace in the form of a gift granted by Jesus Himself. God has placed you where you are, and He has given you this wonderful spiritual gift that you can use for the building up of the kingdom of God. Be advised. Your gift is not your gift. Okay? It does not belong to you. You did not create it. It was given to you by God. Do you understand that everyone here has a special gift given by Jesus Himself? Okay, we got to do that a little better, okay? All right? Everyone present, even the folks in the balcony, have been given a very special gift by Jesus Himself. That's you. That's me. That's everyone here. It's not yours. It was given to you purely by the grace and the favor of God. But you also need to know that because of your gift, you're not better than anybody else. Do you know that? You know, I mean, some people walk around and say, I'm the pastor. No. No, I'm just a guy that God has given a gift to share the Word of God. I am no more important. You say, oh, Brother Doug, yes, you are. No, I'm not. I'm no more important to the kingdom of God than any individual in here that is using the gift that Jesus has given. I'm not. We're all in the same boat. That's what I want you to first understand. We're all a recipient of the goodness of God. And God looked at you and He looked at where you'd be. And He looked at me and looked at where He was going to lead me. And He said, I've got just the gift for you. It's just right for where you are. As a matter of fact, I love the way He put it in verse 11. He said, and He Himself gave. And emphasizing Jesus Himself took pains. And He didn't just kind of cast out gifts and whoever it landed on, that's the gift you got. No, He looked and He considered who you were. And He thought, I've got just the thing for that person, for you. Now, if that don't make you feel special, that God took time just for you. And He gave you the gift that's just right for you. So as we look at this, I want you to understand the gift you have is good and is important. I've often heard people say, boy, I wish I could sing like they do. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, I wish I could play the piano like Sister Beth? Well, I'll tell you, Sister Beth is a good pianist. Brother Dale is a good singer. But your gift is every bit as important and needful as theirs. Okay? That's the first thing I want you to get. That's what you have to understand. There are no little Indians and big chiefs in the kingdom of God. The only chief is Jesus Christ Himself, who gave His life for the church. The rest of us, we're just here to exercise the gift that God has been so gracious to give us. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. And let's talk about how God intended to develop these gifts, okay? Now, it says in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, it's really cool how he builds this, okay? Because he's building this and presenting this from the history of the church from the very beginning. And he opens with, he gave some apostles. Now, you know what an apostle was, right? Apostles were these guys that were handpicked by Jesus himself, that had saw Jesus during his personal ministry, and most definitely had saw, literally, with their own eyes, the resurrected Christ. Okay? He said he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. You know what a prophet was? A prophet was someone who would relay God's message to man. When we think of prophecy, we think of end times and what's going to happen. But the word prophet literally means just sharing what has come from God. All right? A prophet would share God's message with people. It may have been concerning current events and it may have been concerning the future. But he would share God's message because people didn't have the Word of God. So in this day, God had established two very important offices and gifts so that the church could develop. And that is the office of apostles and the office of prophets. And what were they for? They were for the foundational building of the infancy of the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, 10, and 20 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So what Jesus did from his personal ministry, he selected apostles, he selected prophets. And these guys were the very foundation of the beginning of the church. Okay? Now, there are none today. All right? Well, did you get that part too? Because people walk around and say, "I'm an apostle of Christ." No, you're not. No, you've got to have seen the risen Christ. And that's a whole different study, but I'm just giving you. If somebody says, "I'm an apostle," they're either one or two things. They're either ignorant or they're unlearned. I guess it's the same thing, right? They're either ignorant or they're trying to mislead you. How's that? There are no apostles today. There are no prophets today. Oh, but Brother Doug, I've had people prophesy over me. And I've heard people say, have you ever noticed how really good people are at prophesying over somebody else? And you know what I've discovered? God does not deal with me concerning you. He convicts you concerning you. But these are two offices that do not exist today. The reason they were for the foundational building of the church. Now, what does exist today is the office of evangelist and pastor teachers. The evangelist, that was a person who announces the good news of salvation of Jesus Christ. These were men whose main focus was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men like the Apostle Paul, men like Timothy, Philip, and even today, do we have evangelists? Absolutely. Billy Graham was an evangelist. We have evangelists in this church. Though Ken Worthen's not an evangelist, I've never seen one. And I say that respectfully. But these are men who are gifted in sharing Jesus Christ. Who, when they see people, the first thought that comes to their mind is, "I wonder if they're saved." And then it won't be very long till they'll be finding out. These are people who are church planners, starting and building churches. These are people like Ben Hightower that's planting a church in Columbia, Missouri. These are people who are blessed by God with the gift of just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we all want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But some are better at it than others. They're gifted of God. These are very important in building churches. Then, you've got pastor teachers. These are, in fact, in the Greek, it's the same word. And the idea there is shepherd, the guy who shepherds or pastors and teaches or instructs. He's the spiritual leader of the church. Now, can it be two different things? Absolutely. We have a pastor at Victory. That's me, a senior pastor. But we also have a lot of good teachers at Victory. Y'all just aren't into it today, are you? I'm sorry. We have a lot of good teachers in Victory. Amen. We do. The idea there is to equip the saints. As a matter of fact, that's what it says. To feed the sheep and protect them from attack of the devil and from false doctrine and from every wind of doctrine that would blow them off course. Week in and week out, these pastor teachers declare the Word of God and share the Word of God so that you can be equipped. See, here's the goal. Here's the goal of all those of apostles and prophets and pastor teachers and evangelists. Here's God's goal. There's a big picture to it all. It's for, verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That word equip, it means to bring someone to completion or to make someone fit for a purpose. In our language, what the point was to those four offices were to bring the children of God, preparing them to use the gift that God has given them. Okay? You don't know what pastor, the office of pastor is about? It's my job to prepare you to use your gift. That's my goal. That's my job, my God-given position. But here's where it collapses. Because the greatest hindrance that we have in today's church is people who expect to be served instead of serving. Now we started with, you have been made special given the grace of God by a spiritual gift. That means God looks at you and He's given you something that's unique to you that the church needs, that this world needs. But if you come and you think your church experience is all about, well, the church is here to serve me. No, it's not. You're missing. You're missing the point. As a matter of fact, I think that's why we in today's churches, we have so many members come in the front door and go out the back. They don't get plugged in because they don't realize they're here to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man, Jesus Himself, it says, did not come to serve or to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. So let's shift our thinking. You are not here. And I say this lovingly, okay? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to rake you through the coals. I tell you this because this is Bible. You are not here to be served. You are here to serve. See, many Christians today never realize that joy. Because the greatest joy that I have is not when you're serving me. It's when I'm serving you. Yeah? When I'm using my God-given gift, when I'm up here preaching and declaring the Word of God, you just do not know how that makes me feel. I can't describe, but I can suggest to you, you can feel the same thing as you use your gift. Don't set out in church membership and thinking it's your position, you know, the church owes me. No! God did not put you here to be served. God put you here to serve the church or to serve the brethren and to grow the kingdom of God through the gift that you've been given. You have a purpose. Don't settle for being served. How important is your gift? And honestly, I've dealt with people and I've tried to convince people, and I never get them to that point where they realize it is important. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. There's not much I can do. No, no, no. Don't tell me that. The Word of God has said He's given you a gift. And if God gave it to you, if Jesus gave it to you, that means you are important. Or the use of your gift is important. Let me rephrase that. Do you realize how much depends upon the use of your spiritual gift?
Yeah, and in verse 13 it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The idea is this church, this growing, vibrant church that's doing more and more because the body of Christ grows stronger and stronger with each passing day, because the children or the members of the body are saying, I'm going to exercise my spiritual gift. Do you realize? You know, we have nursery workers. And people that, well, nursery's not important. Oh, hogwash. Bah. No. You see, when you exercise your gift of ministering to children, you're going to give those children something that they might not get out here. But you're also going to enable me to exercise my gift, which is preaching. And you're going to enable others to exercise their gift, which may be listening and growing at that point. You see how it works? Your job is important. Don't take it for granted. Dale! Bless his heart, then there's Dale, right? Do you know how important our music ministry is? You see, because Dale uses his gift, others are able to use their gift. It's hard to have a choir without a choir director. Okay? Yeah. It's hard to have a music service without someone who stops and puts in time and effort to planning that music service. And because of that planning and that effort, then we have an orchestra, you know. And you see, all these people depend on how Brother Dale does his job, exercises his gift. Do you ever stop and think, well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I'm not a musician. I'm not a public speaker. Let me tell you, can you pray? I believe prayer is a gift also. Some people are just better at it than others, I'll be honest with you. There are such things as prayer warriors. There are those that, and I don't mean this against anyone, but I do mean this. If I have a real prayer need, there are some people I'm going to go to. I want them praying about it. You know anybody like that? Don't tell me you're not important. Don't tell me you're not needful of this church. We need prayer warriors. Because we are fighting a supernatural battle that is far above the abilities of humans. We need people who are willing to get down on their knees and pray for their pastor and pray for their minister of music, pray for their youth pastor and college pastor and outreach pastor. We need that. Do not sell yourself short. I think it's a lie of the devil. He tries to make people feel unimportant. Well, I mean, let's face it, we all are unimportant until we are empowered by the grace of God with that gift that He's given unique to you and to me. You see, what about an usher? Are ushers important? Do you realize that if ushers don't usher, then givers can't give? I mean, well, Brother Doug, I'm just holding a basket and passing it around. Yes, but you see, you are enabling somebody that has the gift of giving to put in an offering in that plate. And that offering in that plate will go toward the expansion of the kingdom of God. It will go toward paying missionaries and pastors and things like that. All because you exercised a gift of holding an offering plate. Oh, Brother Doug. No, it's, huh? It's your gift. You see, what I want you to get from this message is that we're all connected. If you do your job, I can do mine. If I do my job, you can do yours. But when somebody doesn't do their job, we're all in trouble.
See, we're coming to that point where the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. In verse 16, we're reaching or we're striving for that point where every part is functioning and doing its share. Meaning, if you don't do your job, somebody else can't do theirs. Do you realize how adversely affected this church is if you don't do what God has called you to do? Have you ever noticed somebody that was unhealthy? Let's say they have a bad knee. They come to this point, this knee just doesn't work anymore. You know what that person does? He begins to limp. And his limp, he puts more pressure on the good knee. And in the beginning, it's okay, you know. But after time, the additional pressure on this other knee causes the other knee to start hurting and start going out. First thing you know it, he's limping on both knees. And he's putting undue pressure on his hip. And through time, it's okay. But after a little while, the hip starts hurting. And then after the hip, the back. And then it just builds and builds. And the first thing you know, you've got a lot of body parts that aren't functioning right. Oh, but the beauty of a body that works. You ever think about how beautiful the human body is? And I'm talking about the working of the human body, okay? I mean, isn't it cool when you look at your hand and you say, wow. I tell you to move and you move. I'm hungry. I love this hand. Because when I'm hungry, guess what it does? It picks up stuff and puts it in my mouth, which I really appreciate. This is a really good hand. But I was thinking about it. You know what this hand never does? It never serves itself. It never. It's always picking up stuff and doing for other parts of the body, putting on my shoes on my feet, you know, to protect my feet. But you know, my hands never really do anything for themselves. Why? Because they're a body part that is connected to my body that is directed by my head. And that's a beautiful thing. Boy, God was so cool when He put the human body together, wasn't He? Even more cool. God says we as the church are the body of Christ. You want to see something beautiful, you watch the body of Christ at work. You know, Christ the head. And you've got people that are hands and that are always out there ministering and keeping nurseries and preparing college meals and working and doing things. And they never do anything for themselves. But that's when they're happy. When they're serving. And the rest of the body is benefiting, you know? Oh, but let that wayward church member not realize what we're about. That church member who thinks, well, it's the church's job to serve me. And we start limping. Or let that child of God that's been serving and, you know, they kind of get discouraged and tired. And they say, well, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And we stop limping and start hobbling because both knees are going bad. The first thing you know, they look at me and they say, well, Brother Doug's not trying anymore and he's not doing what he wants to do. If he's not going to try, I'm not going to try. There goes the hip. First thing you know, we can't get around at all. Never think that you're here for no reason. God knew what He was doing. He entrusted you with a gift. And you are important, or your gift is important to the well-being of this church.
exercise it. Verse 16 again, I want to go back to for just a moment, then I'll close. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You know what holds us together? It's when every member is fulfilling their calling. Okay? That's what every joint, or we're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. You want to know what church is about? Yes, we have good worship services. Yes, we have a responsibility and even an obligation to attend. But church is about being a part of the body of Christ and every part of that body functioning and growing stronger from the use or from the exercise of the gift that God has entrusted you with. Listen, I want to close with this thought. Church was never intended to be a place to go. Church was never intended to be a place to go. It's designed to be a place to serve. You have a gift. Are you exercising that gift? If not, you're still here. So it's not too late. That's the good news. Listen, don't waste this life. Don't waste the gift that God has entrusted to you. Today, decide. Make up your mind. I'm not going to waste this talent that God has given me, but I'm going to use it for His glory. I'm going to be a healthy part of the body of Christ. I'm going to serve my Lord. You may be here today and you've heard all this and you understand, okay, you say, Brother Doug, I'm not even saved. Well, you're not part of the body yet. Okay? Let me share with you. To be part of the body, you've got to be born. Right? You have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Are you saved? If not, you know that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in hell. You know that if you were to close your eyes tonight in death, that you wouldn't go to heaven. I've got good news. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That gospel message is for you. That's you. You're the whosoever. God loved you so much, He said, here's my Son. To pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. He took your punishment so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? If not, I want to invite you to come during this invitation. Maybe you're here today and there's another need. Maybe you church membership. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe you need to rededicate your life and say, Lord, I've wasted enough time. I'm coming back to you to serve you faithfully. Whatever your spiritual need is, this altar is open and we'll have ministers available to counsel with you and to point you toward Jesus. As we stand, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the day. Oh Lord, what a great, great thought it is and blessing that it is to be part of the body of Christ, to be used of you. And Lord, that's what we want to be. We want to be a healthy body, faithful in using the gifts and the talents that you have laid at our disposal. Lord, help us not to waste it. Father, I pray in this invitation that you would draw the lost to you and they would respond. That those who have fallen by the wayside, you would draw them to you for rededication and they would respond. For those that need to come for membership, I pray that they will respond. I pray that, Lord, every spiritual need would be answered in this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.